said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this? 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this? People, get ready. Uh-huh, yeah. Gather round on the radio now. Today FM Morning Crew.
The Today FM Morning Crew catch up with Husey, Ed and Aaron.
What's happening here?
The good news is that we are in the midst of genius. Mm. Not us, and that's fair enough. But Aaron, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I knew when I would offspring it, like when I would procreate.
Yeah, so it's not you the who's a genius.
Yeah, the potential of creating a genius would be one in two, and thank God I got that one.
No, what I think it is, though, is because it's like baldness. A genius skips a generation.
Yes, because so it's recessive.
Your father, Jim, and your mother,
yeah,
Anne, are both
bald.
Yeah, but both geniuses. So it skipped your generation and now it's come
to
your...
So Eliza and I were playing I Spy, but you can't really do I Spy with a letter starting with something because she's not that much of a genius because she doesn't really know letters. But we kind of adapted it and I was just blown away.
This is big.
Take a listen.
I Spy with my little eye.
And put your hand up. Something flies.
Something that flaps its wings.
The cars?
No, they don't have wings.
Building?
No.
Jippies?
No.
Birdies?
Birdies, yay! You did it!
Yep.
I mean, buildings. I mean, a plane is a building in the sky, really, isn't it?
Chippies?
They're wing-shaped, some
seagulls
of them.
Get home.
Yeah. Mm. No, that's incredible.
Thank you so much.
Should she just skip primary school? I know that she's not there yet, but
uni. Yeah,
straight
I think
to
so.
Uni.
Ari, straight to
she's Mensa.
Yeah. She is Mensa.
She's a Rhodes Scholar.
She got there in the end.
Yeah. I remember playing I Spy with my kids where they would cheat, where they'd go, you know, I would say what it was and then they would just change their minds and I'd say, you've just changed it, haven't you?
See, that's and smart, then, though.
Yeah, that is right.
At least
absolutely.
You've got some hope with your children. Sweet yeah. Jesus. Like, Carl's got wings, Eliza.
How old's Arnold?
He's almost four.
He so is a child genius.
Mm. Are they the same age?
Yeah, they're basically the same age.
Could we get them to compete? Could we put one against the other and have...
I wouldn't.
Oh, you reckon you've got it? You're going to win?
Well, he's doing lectures on omnivores at the moment.
Mate, I've seen Arnold on Instagram talking about the difference between omnivores and herbivores. Yeah, I'm not putting my child up against that.
Aaron, you don't know what goes behind the scenes. You'd be Ed with an auto cue in the background to say this.
Today FM.
Thought I'd go for a walk and, you know, just soak up some rays. And I thought I'm going to get a Betty's burger.
Great, love Betty's.
How good are they? The bread bit, the bun is just like.
Yeah, no, we love a Betty's burger. Yeah. That should be the next ad, by the way, if they're listening. You could see that, couldn't you, Ed?
Get to the bit where you went up to them and said, the vegan burger, please. And they all went, ugh.
Everyone just died a little bit inside.
It's one of their signature.
We got one, guys. We got one.
I've had a number of them. And it's their signature burger. So it's on the menu. There's only like five burgers on their menu. And it's one of them.
You're
so
they don't
sell
have a lot of variety, are you?
I'm just saying they've got a limited menu. Well, I don't know how many vegan burgers they sell, but I've certainly bought three or four off this one person down there. So I get my burger, I get a chips as well, and there's no one around. So I sit, or there's actually one couple on this large sort of bench, and I'm a long way away from them. I'm socially distancing, yeah?
I'm a long way away from them. Those benches are particularly long. Like, skateboarders love them. I get it. I get what you're doing. They're long enough to distance.
Yeah, absolutely. So I start to eat some chips, out of my little bag, and the seagulls go barango and go, they're just so aggressive. Yeah. And I actually end up yelling, F off. And the couple on the other end of the bench look at me like, I said, I'm not yelling at you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the seagulls. And so they sort of went back to eating their burgers. And then, so I put the chips down. I think I've got to leave the chips for later. I put the vegan burger in my mouth. And this is no word of a lie. The burger is in my mouth and I'm chomping on it. And from the corner of my eye, I see something come And one of the seagulls has flown into my face mm-hmm. and taken a massive chomp out of the other end of the burger. Mm-hmm. And I just left me just shocked. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it swooped my head. It ate my burger out of my mouth. You've like got, I'm its mummy or something.
Yes.
It was disgusting.
Did you watch the seagull after it took the chunk and flew away and then realised it was vegan?
No, I don't know what the seagull did, but I imagine it ate it and enjoyed it, right? But
I suspect not. By the way, the birds at Coogee are worse, I reckon. They're Alfred Hitchcock birds. I've been attacked by them, and there's nothing that could be more vulgar and fierce.
But has a bird ever tried to eat something that was already in your mouth? This was incredible. I mean, I'm telling you, it came at my face, and it was right there. Yum, 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 yum. On the other side. It was so close.
Touch your mouth?
Look, I don't think so, but it was. I had to get away as quick as I could. The burger went in the bin. I thought they don't deserve my vegan burger, and I ate a few chips as I walked back to my accommodation, just thinking, what is going on? Is it end of days? Mm-hmm. But Ed, you're saying they're always that angry. I thought maybe they're that angry because there's no one around and they've nothing to eat anymore.
Oh, actually, that might have made them even more audacious. But those ones, you're right, there's Coogee and Darling Quarter. Those are the two most, they're so aggressive there. They're so aggressive, those seagulls.
We need to instill fear back in the birds of Sydney. I reckon a shotgun. just one as an example to the rest of them. You would not in like the leg, like just a quick.
No, I know where.
So it wouldn't hurt. So it'd be quick, and then the rest of them would learn by example.
I spent my childhood with a low-powered air rifle in my hand, all right? And the birds of my local area knew when I was around, and they didn't touch my chips.
The Today FM Morning Crew Catch-Up.
Thought I'd better go live after the bird ate my burger out of my mouth, my vegan burger. And a lot of people are derisive of the vegan burger, saying that, you know, poor bird. Peter, actually, the organisation have tweeted me. So
people for the ethical treatment of animals.
Yeah, they have. They've got 1 million followers, so I don't know how many you've got, but not that many probably. They've said, got to be careful when eating any form of delicious hashtag vegan food. Everyone tries to steal a bite.
Wait, did Peter say that to you?
Peter, yeah, with the blue tick.
Yeah, but
Peter.
they tweeted that to you.
Yeah, they did. Absolutely. Jesus. And with an emoji of crying face.
Good content. So. That's good content, guys. they're just a lot of fun.
They're great, Peter. They just, their sense of humour is what strikes me.
Good on you guys.
I know what you're doing. this is the audio this is the Instagram that I put on straight away, live.
All right, this has never happened to me before in my life. Crazy times here at Darling Quarters. As I'm walking along, I'm munching on a burger, and these crazy seagulls attacked my burger. I actually ate it out of my mouth. Do not attempt any food down at Darling Quarter. Now I look insane.
Yeah, I did look insane. Because I didn't know whether to speak with the mask on or off.
It happened, though. Got to remember people being attacked. Poor old Christine, where were you? What was it? What happened?
I was at Circle of Quay, and I got in a Porto's burger. And
beautiful.
I got extra chili. Well, the bird kicked the wrong person when he ate my burger.
Yeah, that's a way to get
He was shaken. He dropped the burger. It was so funny to watch.
That's a good way. It's a good way to attack at him.
But can I ask you, was the burger in your mouth or was it beside you when the bird went for it?
I just had it in my hand just to take a bite of it, and he come down and he snatched it out of my hand.
It's just aggressive, isn't it? It's wrong.
Aaron's right, though. It's time for a cull.
What if when the tourists are coming back? Make sure there's a lot around so they can see it and tell their friends. Just take out one and the rest will learn by example.
Yeah, but are they that smart, though? Will Trevor the Seagull go, hey, did you see what happened to Barry? You know, don't hassle people.
Here's Cara. What attacked you?
Hey, guys. A plover bird walking home from school one day and basically he swooped me and his hook of his foot got stuck in the corner of my eye and we were both going frantic for a little while and eventually he let go but I ended up with a great big hole in my head from where he pecked continuously to try and get away and ended up at hospital that night getting my eye seen to and looked at Making sure that he hadn't damaged my vision.
Nah, that's
I think that could even be worse than my burger story, do you reckon?
Is you think?
Kind of an eye. Right, they're gone. Thanks. This is great. I've got to leave.
Hang on. That is the most harrowing thing I've ever heard.
Mate, it gets worse. Wait till you meet Jay from Belmore.
It gets worse than a bird has its talons hooked into your eyeball?
Well, this
is worse than that.
I reckon so, depending on what part of your body you value more.
Oh, what have we
Jay?
Got?
I had this aggressive lizard that was living in my spare room. So it jumped out of its enclosure, ran underneath the fridge. Underneath the fridge is like pitch dark. So I ended up putting my hand in there to grab the lizard. Next minute I know, the lizard ended up swallowing my finger. It's latching on and the teeth are sinking into my finger. I can still feel it. Its locked jaw is crunching on my finger. And then while I pulled my hand out, the lizard's dangling on my finger, still swallowing my finger. Yeah. I have to go to the kitchen and grab the butter knife and put a butter knife inside its jaw. Try to unlatch its locked jaw. Once I did unlatch its locked jaw, I look at my finger, and my finger's got all these thousands of teeth marks.
Dozens. Yeah, absolutely.
And that great lesson.
I reckon he's got to let his lizard run. You know?
You guys know that he's not...
Let his lizard run free.
You guys...
We believe everything that's said on this show.
There is no way that is true, Jay. I'm not calling you a liar, but...
Swear on your family's life that happened, buddy. Swear on their life.
I swear on my life, man, because I used to breed lizards before. Lizards and snakes, yeah.
Photos or it didn't happen, mate. We're going to put them on Instagram, right? Photos or it didn't happen. Take my daughters and my son down to the basketball courts. He's shooting hoops. The girls are on their roller skates and their rollerblades, and I'm just standing there trying to mind my own business.
On Twitter?
Well, a little bit, but I'm talking to a mum who's there. We're having a bit of a chat, all good. Then the mum's son comes up. He's in grade two, this lad, and he says to his mum, looks at me, says to his mum. This is what he says to his mum. He looks at me, says to his mum. He says, is he their father? And his mum says, yes.
Uh-oh.
And then he looks at me, this grade two kid who's old enough to know right from wrong.
Oh, no.
And it's already been established that I'm
correct.
The father.
Yes.
He looks at me and says, I thought you were their grandfather.
Oh, no.
What the hell? Look at my life. You thought I was their grandfather? Like did you, mate? Don't you notice my very dark mustache?
Yep.
That I just from end the other day?
Yep.
You knew that I was their father. Why would you add the extra information? He knows right from wrong. The mum says, don't worry about him. Too late, honey. I am worried about him. Get him out of my
what
sight.
What a rat.
I was going to introduce him to my son and say, no, you can play hoops with a netball hoop, mate.
Yeah.
But you're not getting involved with those kids. Yeah.
Today FM. Sydney.
We love Erin. We love her mothering ways and we love her daughter Eliza. She's an absolute character.
But what you don't love is my propensity to share her videos to our group chat.
No, I think the videos go too long. You know that.
You wish that I treated you like I treated my Channel 9 football colleagues, and that's as colleagues purely and not for videos.
No, this video was very funny. It was funny. There's no doubt about it. I didn't get to the end of it.
You're in lockdown. You can't physically do anything else. You went for 30 seconds and you still couldn't get to the end.
But you're prepared to share this with everyone?
Well, I haven't asked Sean permission or, you know. But anyway, whatevs.
This is you and Eliza just hanging out on the bed. She's three. She's woken up from a nap or about to go to a nap?
Yeah, just woken up from a nap and literally the first, and I promise you, like I wrote a piece about this about a year and a half ago when she first dropped it. I don't think she said it since then. It was just the most random. Anyway, it's not my proudest
hard to
moment.
Believe.
Here it is. Here we go.
What did you say?
I say f***.
Eliza, that is very naughty. Eliza, that is naughty. We don't say that word.
Yeah.
Now, the video goes for, was it 90 seconds? Was it? 90 seconds.
Well, there was a period there where I was trying to pretend to be stern just because I knew I'd be sharing this video between family and friends. So I wanted my mum at least to think I was trying to tell her it was wrong. But then I just lost it and started giggling. And her timing is incredible, though. She's got this real ability for comedic timing.
Oh, she's right up there with some of the great swearers in history.
Like who?
She's Kevin Rudd, like, you know. But what, Ed, how are you going to go with Arnie? Is he going to be allowed to swear?
No, he's got a little bit of that in his locker. He's obsessed with the word bum at the moment and the word fart. Those are his two main ones, and that draws a bit of. If he says bum or fart, a dinosaur gets put away because I can't have it. I can't be at another supermarket and him yelling bummy fart, bummy fart, bummy fart. It's not good for my reputation.
Yeah, see, that's kind of depressing for me because that's like child appropriate kind of rude words, isn't it? That's what Liza should be saying.
Well, I've got three children, and my daughters are not swearers. They're clean of mouth. My son is swearing a lot when he plays sport. So we're out we're out in the backyard, and every time he misses a layup or a 2-point or whatever, he drops the magic word.
But that's you, though. You're that.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah, but I try to say to him, you don't have to swear. And he says, well, why do you swear? I think you've got to be an adult or you've got to be at least 16. Yeah. I don't reckon we've got many people listening to us who have swearers in the family. But today I found Morning Crew. You know what? This reminds me of once when my dearly departed dad, very friendly man, he was great with kids. He was out the front of our house one day. Little kid rode past on his little like bike, little 4-year-old kid, and dad said hello to him, and little kid said, F off. Little Freddie Young. I'll never forget it.
Oh, I love that.
So, okay, so who's got a swear bear? Who's harboring a swear bear? Rebecca, how old are we looking at here?
I've got a 5-year-old son. Okay. Who obviously copies his dad, I think, from swearing at daycare.
Yeah, good work.
And also me in the car, he says dickhead to the cyclist, which I think he's got that from me.
Come on, Rebecca. Well, that is.
They can be silly sometimes.
They seriously can be.
It's divisive, but that's a bit much.
You've got to obey the rules. You can't go through the lights, guys. You've got to wait.
Mate, her son calling them that doesn't disobey the rules. He's not, like, they can't hear him.
Rebecca, is your son swearing at daycare or is he like, swearing in public, is he? So when you're not there, he just...
Well, I went to pick him up and the daycare said... Oh, he said the funniest thing today at such an appropriate time. It was raining, and he said, oh, wow, it's pissing down rain.
That's
sweet.
Do we need to prep our callers that they don't need to say the actual words?
So you've tried to stop them, haven't you, Amber? You've tried.
I have tried. My little thing at home is I have a 15-year-old and a 6-year-old. Yeah. So trying to stop the 15-year-old who's kind of just doing her own thing now, swearing in the house and stuff, my rule is that you're not allowed to swear until you're able to pay rent or the mortgage.
Yeah, and has that worked for you or not?
Well, it does because then I get to swear because I pay the rent.
Today FM, Sydney.
As if going to the supermarket isn't frightening enough at the moment with COVID lurking around every corner. You pop in for a loaf of bread and then you have to stay home for 2 weeks because you're a tier one site.
Correct.
I mean, it's cray-cray out there in the hood. Click and collect has never been more relevant, I believe, or just click and bring it home. You know, throw it over the back fence and I'll wait 2 hours so the COVID gets off the bags and I'll come out and grab it, you know.
Quickly.
Yeah, but... Having said all that, some people are still going to the supermarket, and fair enough too, because it's good fun. Except when things like this happen, as Peter Overton told me on the Channel 9 News.
Here's a slippery customer. A diamond python that took up residence in the spice rack at Woolies in Glenorie in Sydney's northwest, startling shoppers by sticking its neck out into the aisle. Staff called a snake catcher who bagged it safely and released it.
What?
Released it. Like, just threw it out in the car park, apparently, so it can slide back in.
Put it in the fruit section.
The snake was huge.
It was massive. It's got a taste for Pop-Tarts now. It's going to be back.
Of course it is.
I don't like it. So the snake is protruding a good 3 feet out of the spice rack.
Freak me out.
Ugh. like a limbo. Like it's like a limbo stick through the aisle.
Yeah, because of the what they've got, you know, I don't know, whatever muscles they have. They would be good at limbo, wouldn't they?
Amazing.
Yeah. But great at limbo because they just slide underneath, couldn't they?
Absolutely.
Just a centimetre off the ground and just slide through.
Yep.
Yeah, anyway, let's not worry about snakes and limbo because it's, I think it's taking us off the track.
Yes.
Mm. Where, yeah, did you see a snake? That is the question we're asking.
Bushwalking.
I mean, Aaron, surely you've seen a snake. I went bushwalking
plenty
with...
plenty of them. So many.
We're talking about trouser snakes here.
I haven't seen lots of trouser snakes, you sick. What are you trying to say?
No, I'm just saying... The way you said it, I thought that's what you were
No, that's not what I was inferring whatsoever.
Sam, where did you come across a snake?
I was camping. It was a nice warm night. And, yeah, figured we'd leave the fly on the tent open, but we actually left both open and woke up to about a 6-foot python laying across me and my partner.
Oh, did she grab it at one point thinking it was you or, like, you know?
Oh, that's hot. That's hot.
What?
That's hot.
Mate, that was so obvious what you just did there.
I've never seen her run so fast in my life.
Oh, she wasn't used to that kind of.
Come on, Aaron.
You started that, Aaron.
Come on, Aaron.
Can you two get through the next snake call without immediately going?
Yeah, sorry.
Mate, they're in a tent.
I get it. No, I get it.
It was across his partner laying across their laps. You're right. It was there for the picking and we shouldn't have done it.
Did you act like a man, Sam? Did you go,
what do you mean?
Or did,
Yeah, wait. Are you saying a woman can't be brave?
No. He just said canceling. That she ran.
Sam. Off to Afghanistan for you. You might get a job.
Sam, did you act like an adult? Or no, kids can be brave as well. What did you do, Sam?
I undid the tent and I hit the legs before she could, I think. I was,
Wait, you ran and left her in there?
So I got out and helped her out.
It reminds me when I was bushwalking with my wife and she was in front of me and there was a snake in front of her and she screamed and I grabbed her to protect her and she claimed I was using her as a human shield.
Here's Tony, the snake catcher. Tony, the snake catcher. Is it uncommon to find them in shopping centres?
How are we doing? Look, snakes are a lot more common than people think, but they're normally a stealthy, cryptic animal that stay out of your hair. But what happens now, as soon as winter's over and the weather starts to warm up, that induces all the females to ovulate and the males have to find that female. They only get one opportunity per year to mate, so the males get a one-track mind and they become very desperate to get to that female. And then more than likely was a female in that shopping centre roof and it was just the male trying to get there. So because of all of this, snakes end up everywhere. You let your imagination run wild and they will turn up there.
Well, we already have. So you're telling us that there are snakes all around us, we just don't know they're there normally.
Exactly. I mean, those particular pythons, statistically one in three houses have them in the ceiling and they're a nocturnal animal that quietly go about their business knocking off rats and mice.
Yep. Now, Tony, you just said that one in three homes...
Oh, God, Ed, don't.
...have a diamond python in the roof as we speak.
Oh, they're very, very common.
How do we protect ourselves, mate? What weapons should we have on ourselves at all times?
Tony's number.
You don't need to. They are actually doing you a favour by protecting you by knocking off those rats and mice.
That's true.
So they're all on heat. So all of them, all the men are just thinking of one thing, trying to tap a female snake.
Get there before their mates do. So what was happening there is he could probably smell the pheromones of a female that was nearby and he's trying to work out how to get to the roof. He was climbing up a bit of shelves and thinking, what are all these humans looking at me for? You know?
How long does a snake, how long does a snake take to copulate? Is it a quick thing or does it take ages?
It goes on and over and over and over, like quite a few times over a period of time. So what would normally happen is that female would be in the roof of the shopping centre. He would be one of the few males that would head up there. Then the males would punch on over her and the biggest, fattest snake will win the right to mate with her because he's obviously got good genes to make it 2-3 metres long and nice and healthy. And all the other ones sit back and watch while he does the deed. And that deed will go on repeatedly for 6 weeks.
I didn't know they were so focused on this. So is that why when a man does a dirty on a woman, they call him a snake?
Possibly. No, I don't know that. But
anyway.
Sorry.
No, you can imagine. It's kind of like being married. They only get it once a year, so they're pretty desperate.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Hey, that's frequent. Yeah. Some married people have sex once a year? What?
Lucky them.
The Today FM Morning Crew. Husey, Ed and Erin.
G'day, guys.
We've been talking you up, as everyone is, because you're an absolute superstar. Just quietly, you've had over 8 billion streams of your music. 8 billion. Do you watch those numbers go up and up and up, or you just completely ignore them?
I don't know the numbers until someone tells me.
So 8 billion, though, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
more than there's people in the world. How many people are in the world?
There'd be at least multiple billions.
I don't think there's 8 billion, is there? Does anyone know, Ed?
I think we're hovering in the sevens at this point. I think it's a hover. So she's certainly beaten the world population thus far.
That's pretty good. There's 7 billion people in the world, and your music's been streamed over 8 billion times.
That means at least 1/7 of those people have listened to it at least twice.
Crazy. It's mad, isn't it? Are you loving it now, Tones? You're getting to enjoy, you know, your success?
I get to... Being back in Australia with the lockdown, I guess, was when we first came back, was I needed the break for like a little bit, and then it became like too much of a break. But I forget, like, we've had obviously some time without lockdown as well, and those moments were wicked, and I got to spend heaps of time with my friends and my other good friend that passed away, which otherwise I wouldn't have seen him at all, and probably not even be able to go away with him. Before all of that, I probably would have seen him for a week out of like the last year we got to spend together.
This is your friend T, Tones, who I think Cloudy Day was the inspiration behind.
Yeah, Cloudy Day, Bars, Fall Apart and Sad Songs.
Can you give us an insight into your relationship with T and what happened?
So I met T maybe 12 years ago in the same group of friends that I have now. And, he's been like a great friend and brother and since then, but more recently since coming back from busking, so in the last 2 years. And his father passed away a few years ago. While he was on a trip with friends, and we really connected through that a lot. And then, he passed away in January after I just surprised my friends and taken them on a holiday in January. So we had just gotten back. We were back for about a few days, maybe a week at the most. And we all, that day was our other good friend Simo's birthday. And we all, for his birthday, went down to the Seaford Beach and were playing with the jet skis and just playing in the water and just had a really, really good friend's day. And then that night he got in a car accident and I got a call at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, that's shocking.
I'm so sorry to hear that. That's awful. It must make you, I guess, look at life and struggles that you have and just realise you've got to make the most of every single day.
Yeah, absolutely. It does make me realise that you've got to, me especially, I'm someone that you guys may not think this, but my friends definitely know, apart from things for like Tones and I don't get in photos. I just want to enjoy the moments. I don't do any of that. But then going through photos for T's funeral for like a big Flipgram thing we were doing, I realized that it's something that I don't do with anyone. And, you know, I said to myself, you need to really take the time to enjoy the moments, you know, be there for your friends, make sure you have those memories, which is good because we do have those memories. But, yeah, for me personally, I've always been someone that said, oh, no, I'll always just take the photo. I'll never be in it. And, you know, all the friends, the photos and love the have just got all those memories to remember.
That's fantastic. Beautiful.
You know what? You deserve it. Well done.
Yay.
Well done.
Well, first album, you wouldn't believe it, debut album, Welcome to the Madhouse, featuring hits and hits and hits and more hits.
We're proud of you, superstar.
Thanks, honey.
Thanks, guys.
The Today FM Morning Crew Catch Up.
You've got to do what you got to do, and that's what I've always said. You got to do what you got to do.
What have you got to do?
What I've had to do over the last week is use the bathroom on a regular basis, as no more than regular, no more than ever, but you know, as you do when you got to go, you got to go.
I don't see the problem here so far. Whereas you're keeping the door open, the windows are open. What are we doing? We're going public toilets and keeping the door nice and open. There's that type of deal, so people walk past the cubicle and go, "Yuzi, we have to
using the urinal for a number two
town hall train station."
Oh, that's disgusting.
See, also now you know I'm disgusting because I try and join in on a gross
joke. What I say though, you know what? If the urinal is your only choice, yes. You know, I'd prefer the urinal than, because it's got plumbing.
A pot plant.
Got plumbing.
Sink.
Right. Urinal
actually,
better than sink.
Yeah.
Urinal better than sink. And sink. Yeah, anyway, let's focus on this. I have been, you know, I've been staying somewhere where normally I get a regular clean. Yeah.
You've got a cleaner. Just say you got a cleaner. Just say I've got a cleaner. It's okay to
well,
say I've got a cleaner.
But I don't have one at the moment. And
no,
I,
exactly.
And I have not had the use of a toilet brush. And I don't want to, I don't want to go to shops for toilet brushes because I don't think they're essential and I want to avoid shopping. I don't want to get locked down. There you were, you went and got a toilet brush and now you're locked up for a month or you've got COVID, even worse. So I've not been doing that, but there was a spare toothbrush.
No.
Oh, God.
Spare toothbrush in my bathroom. And you know what? For the ones that have been there for a while.
Oh,
come on.
For the long-term residents.
Oh, and they've been annoying me. I mean, they don't make me feel good.
No, they shouldn't.
I want to feel good.
They don't make me feel good either. I feel really pretty poor at the moment. Jackie from Botany straight away. Hang on. Jackie straight away. How disgusting is he?
Look, I think it is pretty gross. As long as you're not using it, you know, in your mouth, it's not too bad. But look,
Jackie.
I'm a HR manager in a very male-dominated industry, and you have no idea how many times I've had to have conversations with people, especially the men, about cleaning the toilet.
Yeah,
so if he's actually making the effort, then I think that we should applaud him. I think it's
well,
a good
that's
job.
Fair. Good so you would like to hand out toothbrushes to some of the employees, you know, go there and get the job done.
And yeah, absolutely.
And can I say the amount of cleaning, the amount of pressure I had to place on the toothbrush to get what I had to get off.
Can I just ask?
Unbelievable.
What strength was it, though?
Oh, yeah, was it soft bristled?
Was it, yeah, soft bristled? If it's soft bristled, you'll be there all day. You better if you're using your mustache.
Now, to be honest, at one point, I had to turn the toothbrush upside down and use the handle of the toothbrush.
Come on, man.
Stephanie, how bad is he? Like a chisel? Like your Leonardo da Vinci working on David. Michelangelo, sorry. How bad is he?
You've got to do what you've got to do. I've had to use a chucks before. You've got to use your resources.
Stephanie,
at least chucks. This is as close as your hands.
You know what? If I had a chucks available, I would have started with the chucks. And that's thank you, Stephanie.
This is all one way traffic.
Can
Daniel
I get
Maureen,
a bit of detail, Ed, that might help turn the last caller?
I don't like this.
No. Do you get dip? Like, because if
dip is an issue.
Yeah. Oh God. So
dip's
your hand does
get issue. I'm not going to lie.
Dip
is a slight issue.
Okay.
It's not long enough. I get what you're saying. The dip is a bit of an issue.
Okay, thank you.
And then I've been cleaning the toothbrush in the sink.
Ah! Oh, mate, come on.
What are you doing? It should be burnt. We need a priest.
No,
I've been doing extra
flushes to try to use the toilet water. No, I didn't, so I had to go to the sink. And that was a tricky moment.
Why don't you take it down and use the fountain in Hyde Park? Give us all a break. Daniel,
what do you think,
Daniel? Hey, how you going, bud?
Yeah, what do you think, mate?
Sad.
Mate, I think honestly you're doing a good job because at least you're cleaning it. You know, you're trying to keep everything clean. But at the same time, disgusting. I totally agree there. But look, I think if you're using that hard bristle, you know, you scrub it away. I think you're doing the right job there. But I reckon if you use those tablets in there, mate, get them nice and clean, and you'll be well trained once you get home to your wife. You can show your cleaning skills.
Yeah, like
the tablets might be an idea. Or the toilet duck tablets.
You could just stop eating whatever you're eating that's sticking to the side of the toilet.
Vegan diet.
That right there was the Today FM Morning Crew catch-up. Get the guys weekdays from 6 on 104.1 Today FM or follow them on Facebook and Instagram.